Today is the Sunday before Memorial Day. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. What is a memorial? It's created or it's done to honor a person who has died or to remind people of an event in which many people died, serving to preserve remembrance. Scripture today comes out of John 15:13. John 15:13, Jesus is sharing. Talks about the true vine, love and joy perfect it, the world's hatred, the coming rejection. All those are kind of like headings within John 15 and different parts of the scripture. But in 15:13 it says this: greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life, to give up one's life, to die for his friends. That's a pretty heavy commitment, isn't it? That's a pretty heavy type of love that says that Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We're finding here Jesus talking of love. He is summarizing the entire duty in the direction of a disciple of his. The statement makes that he is making in verse 12 and 13 establishes the priority and the simplicity of the path we should be on, our following. In 12 it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So a couple of things there. Our priority is to love one another. Amen? Well, that doesn't go over well at times with a lot of people, because there's some people who say, I can't love that person. Well, probably not, but ask God to give you the strength to love that person, because it's in what he wants you to do. Secondly, our pathway is to love as Christ loves us. Our priority is to love one another. Our pathway is to love as Christ loves us. We know what that love did to him, right? It put him on a cross. He hung upon a cross for me, for you, for those of the past and for those in the future that are coming. The power of the cross and what was accomplished on the cross is still effective and fervent for this day. Jesus gave up the comforts, the joys, and the adoration of heaven to bear our sins, your sin, my sin, upon himself. Wow. Jesus endured beatings. We've heard about the beatings he endured, the nails in his hands, the spear to his side, the mocking, the spitting in the face, all of the things that our Jesus took upon himself because of the love that he had for me. He did that for you too, right? Yes? They all point to the measure of his love for us. He is telling us, Jesus is telling us, he's talking to his disciples back in the day, but are we his disciples of today? I hope we are, the followers of Christ. We are his disciples in this day and age. He's telling us that we are to follow his leading, to do the same. For us, though, to fulfill this type of walk, we do need help, and that help comes with the help of the Holy Spirit. Remember when I said that you say, I can't love that person, but his word tells us to love that person. But I need strength to love that person. I need the ability to forgive, or whatever the case might be. Well, ask the Lord to give you that strength. Be led and guided by that of the Holy Spirit. Now, we may not have to die for someone physically, right? But there's other ways to practice sacrificial love. Sometimes it's just by listening. How hard is it for you to just listen to somebody sometime? Oh, you've got other things to do. You've got a schedule to keep. You've got things you've got to accomplish. But someone needs your ear to talk to, and you avail yourself to that. By listening, by helping, by encouraging, or by giving. Those are things of laying down your life. Those, you know, it's not telling you that you're going to, you know, die physically. But I tell you what, for some people to take that ability to give or to listen or to help, it's almost like, you know, them losing their life because it's so hard for them to do that, right? I've got this to do. I don't have time for that. I've got these things to accomplish. Oh, that person doesn't mean that much to me. Oh, I don't want to take time for that. Oh, they tell me the same thing over and over. Well, again, let them talk to you again over and over. Lay down your life. Listen. Be an encourager. Be a helper. Give what you can if that's necessary. One of the best ways to fulfill what we read Jesus telling us would be to give all the love we can, and then try to give a little bit more. You know, fill it to the top, and then maybe add a little extra, you know? And that's where we talk about, I like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't just fill me halfway, two-thirds, or just to the brim. Fill me, Lord, with the Holy Spirit to what? Overflowing. When you get to that level of overflowing, that you talk about that in his word. He talks about a full measure. When we hear that in God's word, a full measure, pressed down, running over, a full measure is talked about. It's not just to the top or the brim or just a little bit below that. It's to that plus, a little bit extra. Do you think in your life today, has Jesus given you a little extra in your life than just filling it to the top? I do. I've been blessed. Have you been blessed? With the things of what Christ has done in my life initially, and even today what he continues to do, I just sense it and feel it that he just continues to pour himself into me by that of the Holy Spirit to fill me, to use me, to give me that additional strength, that ability, that love that he's talking about that I maybe have a hard time with ministering to someone. But I have to disconnect myself and think like, oh, what would Jesus do? And how would he handle this situation with this person? Sometimes it can be very trying, can't it, to help someone. That's why I shared in Sunday school about that situation with a person to where they had all these situations that were right on. I understood it and all that, but it's finally I had to just come out with, but if you don't have God, what do you have? Let that sink in. If you don't have God, what else do you have to hold on to? We know that everything in this world that you hold on to is temporal. It's not going to be lasting. Here today, gone tomorrow. It could be nothing but a fleeting moment. Even God's word tells us that even ourselves and our lives are here upon this earth are just as a vapor. We're here today and what? Gone tomorrow. We are born to die. We're all going to die one day. Hopefully for most of us, it's a long ways into the future. It's way out there, you know? And that we accomplish and fulfill the call on our lives that God has placed us here to fulfill. And then when it's the right time to be called home, let us go home in the glory with a smile on our face and saying, I'm ready to go, you know. Beam me up. Not Scotty, but God. Beam me up, God. Our love as a Christian needs to extend beyond those whom we consider a brother and a sister. Isn't it easy to love those around you here today? Simple, you know. It should extend to our enemies. Jesus shared with his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:44, where it says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. What? What is this guy talking about? Doesn't he understand that's hurtful? And it hurts me, and I don't like it, and it offends me, and I don't want to. But I will love my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I can do that. That's easy. But he is telling his disciples, after the multitudes, he takes them aside, the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those. I tell you what, maybe that's why Some of these people come around our life or cross our path in our life because God is saying, you've got to have these people in your life to be able to exhibit what I've asked you to exhibit. You know, we sometimes say, well, Lord, why is this person in my life? It's someone that is very outside the realms of what I can love, or I don't get along with them, they don't get along with me, whatever the case might be, or every time I see them or we come together, it's just like, how am I going to do this? But we show it by deeds, and we show it by love, and we ask the Holy Spirit to give the strength to be able to endure those things. Because ultimately what happens is we want to show them the love of Christ. So people come across your path that you don't love. God puts them there so that he can perfect you into these things. Verse 46, Jesus says this, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you?" You know, if you're loving those that you already are easily to love, it's a given. But now I really want to see where the rubber meets the road in your life as a Christian by showing this love to those that hate you, despise you, that use you. How can you show that love? How can you pray for those? Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Somebody might say, well, how can you be so loving to that person? You're on a job site, and this person just always is a burr in your saddle. And, you know, but you take it, and you talk to them, and you are gracious with them, and they leave the lounge, and somebody's there saying, I don't know how you can stand to be around that person. I know I couldn't. Ding dong. Testimony time, witnessing time, really. Well, because I want to show the love of Christ. And it might not be easy, but I want to show what my God tells me that I need to be. What do you mean, what your God tells you that you need to be? Well, it says in my Bible that he says that I need to love my enemies, that I need to bless those who curse me, that I need to do good to those that hate me. I need to pray for those that are spitefully use me, and they even persecute me. They even talk bad about me. But my God says that I need to love them and pray for them. And that person is probably going to say, you're crazy. I could never do that. And then there's another witnessing time. Well, you know what? In my past times, I wouldn't be able to do that either. But something has changed in my life. Someone has come into my life that has given me the ability to do that because, you know what, they loved me where I was at. And I used to be probably like that person, maybe not exactly in all realms of things, but I was like that person. I was far removed from Christ. And I was bitter to people, and I probably had my digs that I did at people. I persecuted people as well. But there's something now that has changed my life that has given me a whole different outlook upon things. Really? What was that? When I came to Jesus Christ and I received him as my Lord and Savior. See how you're witnessing? See how your time of just sharing can lead people into a relationship with God in a way that's non-confrontational? Especially if they're just talking to you and saying, how can you be like that? Now what you share and give them, they still may not receive it. They might still say, well, that's good for you, but it ain't going to work on me. Well, God's no respecter of persons. What he's done for me, he'll do for you, but it's going to require you to do some changing within yourself. But that's between you and God. We can talk to people about the love of Christ and share what the love of Christ in our lives has done and what it means without standing on a street corner and ranting and raving about repent or burn, repent or turn, you're going to die, you're all sinners. Yeah, we they don't even know that, and they don't even care. But they will care when you take time and visit with them on a more personable level, and they see that love that's in you come out of you. It's not a trick. It's not being phony. It's being the reality of who you are and who? Christ. And if we are walking with Christ in us, shouldn't he be exuberated or seen in us, you know, as we do our walk? No greater love has no man than this, than to give up or die for his friends. As I looked at that, that brought me into my thoughts, and that really, Memorial Day and my thoughts along that line directed me into that, and there's some other things in scriptures about those things, but as we reflect on the message that Jesus shared about losing one's life in scripture, I can't help but reflect upon the day each year that we honor those that have gave the ultimate sacrifice, their lives by dying while serving in one of our military branches of this nation. In the past, I would go through and list the totals of death in different conflicts. And conflicts still go on to this day. You know, you try to find the sources for the Middle East war, the invasion of Iraq, and all the stuff that continues on even to this day, and there's numbers out there. The numbers are not as high as they were back in the days of Vietnam or really even the Civil War. The Civil War had the highest death rate. The Civil War, believe it or not, Civil War, this was us fighting the North and the South. The death rate was 498,332 people died. My goodness, almost a half a million people. In World War I, we had deaths rated at 116,500. World War II, the death rate was 405,000, just under 400. So 405,400 men and women. Even the Korean War had 36,500 and some out. The Vietnam War had 58,000. You know, numbers are numbers and they signify a life that was lost, right? And lives are still being lost today as men and women go out and to protect and to serve this nation. So Memorial Day, which is observed on the last Monday of May, commemorates the men and women who died while in the military service. An observation of the holiday, many people will visit cemeteries and memorials. Volunteers will often place American flags on each grave site at national cemeteries. You'll find them in your city cemeteries. Go to Oak Hill and Milton Lawns. You'll see American flags poked into the ground, generally by those of a veteran or somebody that has died. A national moment of remembrance will take place. Remember this, on the actual Memorial Day, okay, Monday, at 3 p.m. local time, as a national moment of remembrance. It's to where you actually should take about a few minutes of silence at 3 p.m. on the day of Memorial Day, at 3 p.m. local time, to have a somber remembrance of the dead, those that have given their ultimate sacrifice. So how did this all come about? Well, originally it was known as Decoration Day. It originated in the years following the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. Isn't that something you think? It didn't take, not until 1971. That's not that far away or back, it seems like, but it has been. But I remember I was in 1971. That's when it became an official federal holiday. Many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting those cemeteries and parades and holding gatherings. Well, how did this start out? Decoration Day began on May 5th of 1868. It goes way back, doesn't it? Known as Decoration Day. May 5th, 1868, General John A. Logan, a leader of an organization for the Northern Civil War veterans, called for a nationwide day of remembrance later that month. The 30th of May of 1868 is designated for the purpose of putting flowers and otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who had died in defense of their country, and continues on to this day. Memorial Day as Decoration Day gradually came to be known. So now we've changed from Decoration Day to its Memorial Day. It originally honored only those that lost while fighting in the Civil War, but during World War I, the United States found that itself was embroiled in another major conflict, and the holiday involved it to commemorate American military personnel who died in all the wars. So it started picking up steam, rather than just remembering those of the Civil War, but my goodness, the Civil War had 498,332 that had died. The highest death rate of any war to history. Well, how do we remember Memorial Day? This is interesting. as I was looking this up, the Remembrance Day symbolism of the poppy. You know, when you go out today in Memorial Day, you'll get what they call a poppy. So it's usually got a little green little leaves, and it's got like a little red bead on the top, or a poppy seed, or that was probably artificial now, but the poppy. The Remembrance Day symbolism of the poppy started out with a poem that was written by a World War I brigade surgeon who was struck by the sight of the red flowers growing on a ravaged battlefield. So from 1914 to 1918, World War I took a great human toll than any of the previous conflicts at that time, with some 8.5 million soldiers. My goodness. World War I took a greater human toll than any other previous conflict, with soldiers dead of battlefield injuries or diseases. The Great War, as it was then known, also ravaged the landscape. Of Western Europe, where most of the fighting had taken place. From the devastated landscape of the battlefields, this red poppy would grow. And then, thanks to a poem, it became a powerful symbol of remembrance. So it's interesting to think that when you think of that poppy that is given out at Memorial Day, it goes all the way back to this brigade surgeon back in World War I that saw this, and actually it was a weed, growing the way it was, and the scarred land of the battles. Figure that out, I guess. Usually weeds will survive everything, won't they? You know? Across northern France and Flanders is known as northern Belgium, the brutal clashes between Allied and Axis soldiers tore up fields and forests, tearing up trees and plants, and wreaking havoc on the soil beneath. But in the warm early spring of 1915, bright red flowers began peeking through the battle-scarred land. And it's known, they got this scientific name of what this thing is called, but it's known as the Flanders poppy, or corn poppy, or red poppy, or corn rose. The brightly colored flower is actually classified as a weed, which is why it has such a tenacious being able to grow in the battle-scarred land that was there that it was growing out of. This Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, who served as a brigade surgeon for the Allied Artillery Unit, spotted a cluster of poppies that spring. McCrae tended to the wounded and got a first-hand look at the carnage of that clash, in which the Germans unleashed lethal chlorine gas for the first time in war. Some 87,000 Allied soldiers were killed, wounded, or went missing in the battle, and as well as 37,000 on the German side. Struck by the sight of this bright red bloom on broken ground, McCrae, he wrote a poem, and it's titled In Flanders Field, in which he channeled the voices of the fallen soldiers buried under those hardy poppies. It was published in a magazine in the late 1915. The poem would be used at countless memorial ceremonies and would become one of the most famous works of art to emerge from the Great War. Its fame had spread far and wide by the time that he himself had died of pneumonia and meningitis in January of 1918. And so it goes as such. The title of the poem that this man wrote on that field of death in Flanders Fields, remember the area of Belgium. In Flanders Fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead, short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from the failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. So that's how the poppy, as we wear it today for Memorial Day, came about. It's got some other history with it and where it came from and how it was used in Europe and early America, but as it's taken its turn and how it's come to be known within our society now, it goes way back to that point of time where that gentleman penned that poem. So Americans don't wear typically wear poppies on November 11th. That's what? Veterans Day. Haven't you noticed that on Veterans Day, that honors all living veterans. Instead, they wear a symbolic red flower on Memorial Day. You'll have that red little carnation or something like that, and that's Veterans Day, remembering those that have served. But the poppy is to be worn as remembrance of those that have died. I found that very interesting in how we look at preserving some of the memories of those that have taken that life. And to think about that, young men and women took off to war. They came and they took that oath of office or oath as they went into the military to defend and to go where they were told to go without any questioning or any, you know, well, let's debate this out whether or not we should go or not. And they take that solemn oath to serve their nation. And so they do go into harm's way, don't they? And so I think it's very fitting for us today, as we get further and further away from these things, that we remember those that have given that ultimate sacrifice and how it ties into what the Word of God says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life. So out on our sign today, it says, this week I put out there, and it just, I didn't know how to put it out there. It's like, other than it says, someone gave their life for you. Now, we can tie that into even Jesus. Or we can tie it into former military people. You know, this nation has been blessed with we've not had a draft in I don't know how many years. But still, men and women voluntarily go into the armed branches of our service to go off into foreign lands to do what they've been told to do, to help over there in those places. And some of them will not come back, will they? And it's very sad. And it's hard to understand. But they go in knowing that I might lose my life. None of them go in there realizing at 100% that they're going to go in, go fight in a war, and I'm going to come back and everything is going to be great. They go in with that concept as I'm going to serve my nation. I'm going to serve and do what I can do. Well, Jesus was like that. When Jesus came, he took the sins of us upon himself upon that cross, and he died for us. That great love that he had, huh? That no greater love than to lay down one's life. And as Jesus laid down his life for you today and for those that we come into contact with and for those in the future until he comes back, that same message should go forth that he laid his life down. We are going to take that and lay our life down, maybe not to die, but I had said earlier, by maybe sacrificing your time or be an encourager or to be a good listener, you know. To me, that seems like a fairly simple life to lay down, to be an encourager or to listen or to pray with someone. It's not taking my life physically like Jesus did. As I think of those that have gone on in our nation that have gone into wars to keep us free, to keep whatever is happening on the other side of the oceans, is better to keep it there on that land than to allow it to come onto this land. I don't know what would happen, and we had just a very taste of it, of course, back with Pearl Harbor, but even more so with, you know, 2001 with the Twin Towers and the things into the Pentagon and the plane coming out of the sky that they fought the attackers on that jet. They were saying, we're not going to let them take this and do harm to anybody else. Everybody on that plane perished. Because they had love for those that they don't even know. And they're saying, we're not going to let this band of bad people take this and propel it into some other building or whatever else to hurt them. We're going to deal with it here where we're at. That's love. And so somebody gave their life for us to live today. Whether it be in a war, You know, when that happened with 9/11, it's interesting to find out how many people had connections to people that were in those Twin Towers. It rippled across this nation. How many lives were touched and how many families were touched by a loved one being lost in those towers when they went down, or possibly in the Pentagon, or on that plane, or whatever the case might be. It was a chilling thing to think of how that rippled across our nation and what it caused. And so we see that how important it is to take those battles onto other countries' shores than to wait for it to get to our shore, because that one day created havoc for how long in this nation? Shut down flight for how many days? Everybody was on guard for what was the next thing that was going to happen. How many more things were going to blow up or explode into buildings and take innocent lives? It in a way, it kind of paralyzed America. It brought us together. Our founders, and or not our founders, but our representatives and people in our government were holding hands. Didn't matter what side of the aisle they were on. We were all, I didn't hear anything from Freedom Religion contesting that they were having prayer on the steps of the Capitol. We didn't hear any of that. It's amazing when tragedies strike and they cry out for some power and some peace and some hope, we cry out to God. I never heard anybody crying out to the devil to say, "Oh, devil, help us!" Because the devil was instrumental in causing it. But we join together in unity to cry out to our God. Sad to say, it doesn't last. They all get back to their aisles and their seats in the cabinet and the Congress and all, and we end up with that divide again. But as I think back over World War I and II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Iraqi War, and Desert Storm, and all these things that they title these battles and skirmishes, in a way, I'm thankful that it's always taken place over in someone else's nation. But yet America was there to help and to support, hopefully to bring peace and to take out the tyrant, to take out that. And there will always be tyrants in the world. We'll never completely eradicate them. They're out there. And it's crazy and it's politics and we can't get into that. But I do know that we have wonderful men and women that go up and stand before somebody and raises their right hand and they take an oath of office or an oath of service to this nation to protect the Constitution. Thank God for them. And so on Memorial Day, we will remember them that have died in the past. And may we not have to go into another type of a skirmish or go into another type of battle, but I don't know about you, but I think knowing what the life that we live in, this culture and the world that we live in, there's a many, many, many things going on that we don't even know or understand, but there's going to always have to be that level of a nation of men and women to rise up to protect the sovereignty of a nation. And we've got the best of the men and women, amen, that still have that in them to go and take that oath. And sad to say, there will be more that die in other skirmishes in the years that take place. And they will until the Lord returns. And I pray and I hope that we can remember them like we remember those that have long gone on before them in the previous wars. For they died with conviction to know that they were protecting us. How many times have you heard men and women talk about how a comrade saved a life or many lives in a particular platoon or whatever because they, landed on the grenade or they ran up and did whatever they could to a particular machine pillbox or something like that of the enemy that was killing many Americans, and somebody took it upon themselves to go up there and to disregard their life to save their men, their friends. Wow. That is something to consider and to ponder. And we would sit there and think, wonder if I could do that. Wonder if I would have that ability in me. And there are a lot of people out there that have it, and there's a lot of people out there that don't have it. And generally those that have it have that desire to serve something much greater than themselves. Amen? And that's why they go into the military. and they serve. We have Americans back here that don't understand that, and they get all upset when somebody and they lose their life. And it is sad and they lose their life, but generally when you talk to the family members, they say he or she died what she or he wanted to do. They willingly went into harm's way, and they would not have wanted it any other way. Well, will it make a difference? Has it brought peace? No. But as we go back from the Civil War to World War I to II to the Korean conflict, to all these conflicts, it has not brought total peace throughout this world, has it? And we'll always have these conflicts, and we'll always have these battles. But God will always raise up those that will take that stand. Somehow, some way, they've got it in them to lay down their life. We have that with Memorial Day. A couple of weeks back, we had it with the Law Enforcement Memorial Week, to where they took a day and went up to Madison at the Capitol, and they have a wreath laying ceremony, and they light candles or whatever they do to pay honor to those officers that have fallen in the line of duty. And they do that same thing. We had the same thing at Rock County Courthouse Park on that week, on a Friday or a Thursday. I can't remember now that I went down to attend that. And I don't know if it's out there enough, but if you had ever hear it of next year coming around, if it comes every year, they do it. And if they advertise it as they always do, I would encourage you to take it in, because it's a solemn time to where names of officers are given in their death of service. But there's always a person, there's always something that God has placed into someone that has that seed that says, I am willing to lay my life down for somebody that I don't even know. Whether they're policemen or firefighters or military, you know, thank God for whatever God has put into them that they're willing to lay their life down. But it ties into John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life, to give up their life, or even to die for his friends. And they don't even know us, but we're their friends. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, as we think of this time, every year it rolls around in our nation, Memorial Day. I know the world has taken it in so many different ways, of holidays, of picnics, of barbecues, of Memorial Day sales, and all of these things that kind of piggybacked onto this Remembrance Day. And that's the world, and that's what man does. But if we could, some way and somehow, find it in our times, even tomorrow. And like it said here, Lord, in the paper at 3 p.m. local time, that we would take just a minute, 30 seconds. It should be almost an hour of silence, Lord, for all of those that have died defending our nation. But Lord, we thank you for each and every one. And whatever it is that they had in them, Lord, it was something that we honor and we are thankful for. And may we not forget them. May we also remember their families, for their families continue on each and every year after that time of losing their loved one, that they remember them over and over. And somehow, Lord, let us just ask for your blessings upon those families, those loved ones, those wives, those brothers, those sisters, moms and dads, whatever it is, Lord, and whatever member of the family that they've lost in a conflict, Lord, bless them. Let them somehow know that we honor that life. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your word and how your word tells us to lay down our life. And Lord, we look at it, and even if it's as simple as being an encourager, to be listening to those around us, to help them, to give them some kind of insight into your love, that's as well laying down our life. But it certainly isn't dying physically like so many have done in our wars. But let us focus on that scripture, and let us always recall it, Lord. The love that people have to lay down their life. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just give, just a moment of silence for those that have died in all of these conflicts.